the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth.
It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, all we do is win. Thanks for choosing this podcast. You're a winner when you do. Grant, how are we doing tonight?
I feel better.
All we do is win. The Bison win. The Vikings win. But the most important football score of the night, Davies High School Junior Varsity 12, Stinky Cheyenne West Fargo 6.
Yay.
Congratulations, kid. Way to go.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. Coming
five
off.
Five punts over 100 yards.
That's right. Grant Hubbard, punter extraordinaire, slash right guard, slash defensive tackle.
Slash nose guard. You know,
I don't know what else he did tonight, but...
Am I like slash steward? I do everything?
Glorious. Yeah, exactly.
Cordell Stewart, I do everything.
Well, welcome to the program. We've got a lot to cover tonight on a late evening here as we bask in the glorious... All our teams do is win. I mean, we win, coaches get fired.
No, but if you lose to the Vikings, you get fired. That's what we just
In case you get fired. In case you had not heard the news, Bill O'Brien...
is gone!
He gone! He has been formally removed of duties as of today by the McNair family.
Taking advantage of his position, he's been removed from office.
So. Yes, so 0-4 and looking crappy doing it, apparently.
And Romeo Crennel is the interim coach.
Romeo, who is... tell you what, it's going to be a tough ship to turn around.
Well, he did coach the Browns, so I mean...
Hideous. On the show tonight, we will talk about the National Football League and look at back at Week 4. We, of course, are going to dive into the North Dakota State Bison victory over Central Arkansas. We'll talk to college football. We will preview the NBA Finals remainder as the Heat get back into the series and take a look at the Major League Baseball divisional round, which is first pitching tonight. So it should be interesting to see how that. And these five-game series, which are all rematches of division opponents who have already played a bunch of times this year. Going to be interesting. So, are we? I forgot our show prep, but I don't remember from a few hours ago. Are we starting with the Vikings tonight?
Correct.
Or are we starting with the Bison tonight? I forget what we were doing.
I thought we started with the Vikings.
We're gonna start. I thought we were doing NFL recaps later. No.
I'm trying to do the Bison first.
I don't know. It's up to you.
Let's
your show.
Bison first.
Want to do the Bison first? Okay. Well, let's talk about the North Dakota State Bison. Let's talk about, as we usually do.
Yeah.
Overreaction Monday after a Bison game.
Well, it's the last one for a while, so.
Right. And, yeah, the first one and the last one for a while. Let's talk about the Bison, Grant. Your overall impressions of the victory over Central Arkansas. If you had to give this a letter grade, give me the grade from A to F. What is this game for North Dakota State?
This is like one of those tests where you didn't feel good about it, but you got a C on it. That's kind of what the Bison were.
Really?
It's like you really didn't do well on it, but you got a C.
And you passed?
You passed, but you didn't feel good about it. And that's kind of what the Bison did. They were good at times. They were really, really bad at times. Trey looked like he was basking in the spotlight. Then he was actually playing a football game. I mean, I know it's the first game since January. I get it. And Central Arkansas has already played three games before. I get it. But it's just like, you gotta be able to do better than that. Trey's overthrowing receivers. He didn't start to run the ball until the second half, trying to preserve the golden boy. Well, guess what? First round pick doesn't play like that for a first half. And I know he still came back and won the game, but also that Bison secondary, they need more time. They did not look that prepared to play. And Central Arkansas has some really good receivers. And when you play like that, where the lead ping-pongs back and forth, it's one of those games where the Bison were lucky enough to win, where something went right at the end of the game. And someone told me it's like the refs were rigged against the were rigged for the Bison. I'm like, I didn't notice that. Eli Hayes told me that, by the way. It's rigged against it rigged for. I'm like, I didn't notice any calls that were for or against the Bison.
Honestly, that I don't think the officiating was any sort of factor in this game.
No,
at all.
I think Matt Gallagher did a hell of a job.
You just like it because he says good afternoon and hope your families are safe.
That's I didn't think he'd say that.
That was interesting.
Good afternoon. False start.
So in the 39-28 win by the Bison, played before a robust Fargo Dome crowd of 471. Yeah, I know.
Sad.
It was
banner raising with nobody there.
Yeah. Everything was with nobody there. General observations from me as far as the game is concerned. Thought the Bison came out, and I think you really notice how big a home field advantage the Dome is when you play in front of an empty room for all practical purposes.
When they come back here in a couple of years, they're gonna get
demolished. It's bring your own energy, but man, that's tough to do. I think Central Arkansas's playing three games made a difference.
Yeah.
I think they looked sharp. I think they looked like a team that had an idea what it wanted to do. And in the end,
They lost.
Because they aren't talented enough to beat NDSU.
Well,
I thought that the overall combination factor that they'd played a bunch, they didn't have to face a hostile crowd. Every time Braylon Smith started to play and I heard that clap, they could make their checks.
He ain't hearing
that.
They
could make their reads. And even despite all that,
They lost.
Because they were outgained by 125 yards. They gave up 275 yards rushing to NDSU. They were outpossessed 33-26 in time of possession. And they only ran the ball for 71 yards. Okay? Let's not everybody get too fired up that Trey Lance didn't have his best day. 15 for 30, 149 yards, two TDs, and of course, an interception. Nick Nakawasa, is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
the guy,
something like that.
You can't believe the sideline reaction when Central Arkansas picked him off. It was like the Super Bowl and God himself had come down. And I was like, you got to pick. Yay.
I mean, it's going to happen at some point. It had to happen at some point.
But it's just, you set yourself up for all those great goals like this, and it's like, where did it get you? You still lost by double digits.
Yeah. I'm like, if it was going to happen at some point. If it was last year, it would have happened in the national championship game. It would have happened at some point during the playoffs. Never happens for some reason. And you know what? He threw one pick. Braylon Smith threw a pick. And? Like,
threw two picks.
Yeah, he threw two. Trey threw one, and it was off a play-action fake where he probably shouldn't have thrown it to that guy anyway.
Yeah, if it's a little bit higher, that's a touchdown.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't think, I read Daniel Jeremiah's report on that game, and he didn't take it into account. He's like, it happens. Kicks happen.
Dawson Weber, Jaden Price got the picks, by the way, for the Bison, in case you're wondering. I want to talk about a couple other things in this game. Seth Wilson.
He's back.
Looks good, man. 7 carries, 55 yards, not eye-popping stats. Is he the best running back in this offense? The answer is yes.
I was going to say Kobe Johnson. But
no. It is not Kobe Johnson. The most complete running back in this entire offense is Seth Wilson. It's not close. And by far, he had the most of the BYOE, bring your own energy, of anybody I saw on the field for NDSU. Okay? So, grade A for Seth Wilson. Grade A for Hunter Lupke.
Love Hunter. You don't like him, he carries the ball.
I didn't, but he's starting to grow on me.
Yeah.
2 catches, 29 yards, a touchdown. 2 rushes, 27 yards, a touchdown. And he got screwed out of another touchdown because of that bullshit targeting penalty on the Central Arkansas guy. And no offense to the Central Arkansas guy.
The play was already blown dead to begin
with.
Yeah,
but he scored. I would have rather had the score than the penalty. Crap. Anyway, it was a bullshit targeting call.
Jeez,
sorry, okay. It was. That's penny ante crap. Your boy Matt Gallagher got that one wrong. But
okay.
Anyway, I thought the defense played adequately. They got lost on a coverage or two, and Destin Talbert That's got to get better.
Yeah.
That's got to get better.
When you cover two guys at once and one guy's open, that's usually not a good scenario. When the guy's wide open in the end zone.
Generally not the way
That's been not the way to play football, but I get it. They're young. They're still developing. There's so much talent on this roster you can make up for that, but it's like they have a long time to get ready for Young's talent.
Another guy who had a great day, Braylon Henderson.
Yes.
Big catch to get the first down on that one drive. Big punt return, give him some field position. Made plays, was a factor in the game. Guy did not have a very good day, Christian Watson.
Yeah. He dropped, what, two touchdown passes?
Two, and the one was so beautifully thrown by Lance, it's almost criminal that he didn't catch
it. It went right through his hands.
Right. And so Braylon Henderson was the best wide receiver on the field for them. Yeah,
Braylon Henderson looked like Zach Raw. That's the sideline catches all over the place.
Phoenix Sproles, you may have seen him get rolled up on. He is okay. It's a high ankle sprain. He'll miss it. If this were regular season style, he would miss 3 to 4 weeks probably with a high ankle sprain. But obviously we're not going to have to worry about that. And the last thing I wanted to talk about in this game was just the Bison, again, finding ways to win when maybe they don't play their best.
They have deserved to win some of these games. Like South Dakota State last year, they did not deserve to win that game under any circumstances. But they just find these weird ways to win. That's what keeps the winning streak alive. It's like how lucky can they get, it seems like?
Well, you make your own luck, and I think you
they do make their own luck. But
I don't think we need to just totally say this is all about luck either. If you look at the winning touchdown drive, you know, you have Wilson for 8, you have the Lance pass for 7, Wilson for 13, an incompletion, Trey for 5, Trey for 4, and then the pass to Lupke. That puts you ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
They go 3 and out on the ensuing drive, Central Arkansas does. And then again, Lance for 1, Gindorf for 11 on the pass, Wilson for 8. Lance loses 2, then it's on 3rd and 4, 15-yard pass. Okay. Let's also not forget, and I shouldn't leave this out, let's not forget that on that touchdown drive where the Bison go ahead, the previous play, Trey Lance, it's 3rd and 5 at the 38, gets that 4-yard run, and Robert Rochelle comes in and commits a bonehead penalty.
Yeah.
So instead of 4th and 1...
Undisciplined.
First down, Bison. Lupke goes in the next play on the pass.
It's like sometimes teams just want to beat him so badly that they're willing to take cheap shots at the Bison.
And there were so few... There were 5 penalties in the entire game.
Yeah. Pretty clean game.
So that's why I didn't think the officiating is up a deal. That's the one penalty that Central Arkansas could not have.
Yeah.
And because they committed it, they threw the game away. Put their offense back in a position where, as Papa Bad King strikes again, it's unbelievable to me that you can just let that go.
Yeah.
And really a stupid penalty in the grid.
Central Arkansas is good. I think they're a little undisciplined, just a little bit. I think their run defense was fantastic. But I think their passing offense was really good once they got it going. But with Central Arkansas, they've won a lot of comeback games. You shouldn't be down all the time with the type of team you have. And you play in the Southland Conference. I'm guessing you're playing at Sam Houston State. I mean, it's like they don't get it with Central Arkansas.
Is this the classic case of a team saving everything they had and treating NDSU like it's their Super Bowl?
Yep, that's like South Dakota State does.
I think Central probably is going to go out and lose a few more games now because they played their Super Bowl.
What South Dakota State does, they lose to the Bison. They're so spent by the time they got to South Dakota last year, and they went up to South Dakota and lost. They should not have lost to the Yotes under any circumstances.
No matter what anybody tells you, there absolutely is a Bison fatigue factor. When you come in and play NDSU, and after, even if you beat them, which is rare, you have to go out and do it again the next week and play at that same level of intensity, and you're going to get beat by somebody that's if you're not paying attention.
It's just because you're just not as up to par as you were the previous week.
I wonder how Central Arkansas, as you know, is going to play a 10-game fall season, and they are not going to play in the spring, so they will not be in the playoffs.
They won't be?
No, they won't be in the playoffs. They won't be Southland champions or anything like that. They are not going to play. They are going to be good in next season, it's still this season, but the next fall season, they will be a force to be reckoned with again.
No.
With Smith coming back, they will.
No.
Yes, they will.
No.
In the Southland? Oh, yeah.
Well, in the Southland, yeah.
Yeah.
But they got beat by Illinois State last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, Illinois State, who could barely throw a functional forward pass.
They couldn't throw a pass, and yet they got beat. So I'm not in on Central Arkansas until they can beat somebody that's out from the Southland Conference.
Well, they struggled with Missouri State.
Exactly.
But again, that could have been the looking forward to the Bison factor again.
Yep. It's just the Bison, they take so much. It's like they're kind of like a diversion. Like, oh, I guess I spent all that time looking at NDSU. Whereas, oh, we got Missouri State this week. Yeah, it's a win. And yet they're down in the fourth quarter. It's like, I don't care about Central Arkansas right now. Are they good? Yeah. Sure they are. But until they can beat somebody that's actually worth a damn, I don't really care about Central Arkansas. If you can't beat another Valley school, hardly, and you lost in the playoffs at home last year, get out. I don't care. I just don't. They don't give me anything that says, yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. They're not. Their defense is okay. Their run defense was fantastic. But
what they did in the run defense.
But they're giving up key plays at the end of the games, and you're talking about it's a force to be reckoned with.
The Bison figured it out at the end where, up the middle, they weren't going.
Up the middle.
Up the middle. Up, down, up, down. Up. They were pounding the Bison up the middle and saying, you are not going to beat us running up the middle. They're not, no A-gap power. What did NDSU do? They started to figure it out where they ran outside more. And they started, and you could see it when they started running the end arounds and running to the edges, mm-hmm. and that's where they're getting their yardages. And then, again, I think Central Arkansas knows, going into the game, Golden Boy's not running. They're going to say, hey, Lance, you're going to beat us running the we know you're not going to beat us running the ball. Because you won't run the ball. I think in the second half they had to run the ball to get it going.
Yeah.
And I think that's a major problem with this setup that the Bison had on Saturday.
We're trying to display Lance's talents.
Yeah, if it's the talents of Trey game, that's great. And he put on a show, don't get me wrong.
I don't
think there's any doubt that he's still going to enter the draft. I don't. I think he's going to go. But I think his stock is more about what he potentially can do and what he looks like.
Because he looked bigger.
Yeah, he definitely can tell.
And look, like he lost a step, too. He wasn't as fast as he was.
Possibly, but he's going to have to be a little bigger to take those NFL hits.
True.
I think his accuracy as a passer left, though, is the biggest thing that I left a lot to be desired on, from my point of view.
I know he's a little rusty, and I get it, but it's like, in a game situation, he hasn't thrown a live pass in a game since January. But it's like, I know that'll come back to him as he keeps working out for the draft, but it's like, you gotta be better than that.
Yeah, I agree with
and
you.
And it's Christian Watson dropping passes, but there are some balls that he just flattered over through or right. under through. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to analyze the Bison here in the next few months as we look forward to the spring season with Youngstown awaits on Sunday, February 21st.
Sunday.
Starting on a Sunday.
But it's a home game.
Right.
So, go back and tailgate again.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
We'll be marching a couple of days.
It goes around. Yeah, well, I mean, I know. I get it.
Do hand warmers in your pockets, and you'll be inside drinking a beer. So.
I might have a beer, too. You're right. Let's talk about the rest of the college football weekend briefly here. Biggest game of the weekend, Georgia throttled Auburn. 27-6. I think I'm not surprised they won. I guess I'm surprised more the margin of victory was as it was.
Yeah.
Texas Christian upset Texas. The Longhorns, a fraudulent team like they usually are, as are the fraudulent Oklahoma Sooners, who lost another game to Iowa State, of all people. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Iowa State?
Honestly,
their
funky black uniforms.
Did OU's lack of defense finally catch up to them?
I think they're that, and their lack of talent at the quarterback position is.
Rattler's not a good quarterback.
I think Rattler is a good quarterback, but I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
It's not like in these two games, they've had significant leads in both games, and choked it all away, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
Alabama continues to roll. They whooped up on Texas A&M.
A&M isn't
like going to be a couple weeks yet before I think we... And Clemson won. Now, Clemson-Miami next week. That's the big guy. Is that the showcase game of
the
weekend?
Let's go, Canes.
You know that the Canes have zero shot at winning that game. Yep. Trevor Lawrence is going to carve them up like turkeys. I mean, honestly, it's
going to they haven't played that well. They struggled with Virginia for a little while, so...
Virginia's at least a credible quality... credible quality
opponent. Yeah, that's what
you said. I don't think that Clemson probably gives a shit too much about
the Canes.
Them anyway. But yeah, you'll bet the Canes.
Of course I will. I love them, love my Canes.
Big finish. Greatest college football song ever.
Colorado and Nebraska next.
Seriously, yeah. Well, interesting college football. The real fun college football is still a few weeks away. I mean, not that this wasn't fun, what we just watched here on the last game here, but I'm looking forward to the Big 10, Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever.
Big 12 is a joke, so...
Well, I don't know, but like, when we start the Big 10 calendar off, it's going to be, you know, Ohio State and Penn State right off the bat in all these games. Now, they're only a few weeks away.
Is it at Penn State?
I think it is at Happy Valley.
Yeah,
yes.
that'll be the Saturday night football game, and it'll be a whiteout, like it always is.
It'll be a whiteout, yes, indeed it will. Gloriously, as we are about to end the NFL weekend, the Packers have covered. Yay!
They should have picked the Browns.
The legend falls another week, unbelievably. So, happiness all around. Because, again, all I do is win.
Screw you.
All I do is win. So, Grant, as long as we're on it, let's talk about the National Football League. Music makes me happy.
Makes me very happy.
Broncos 37, Jets 28. Oh, boy. The Broncos, with Brett Rippon at quarterback, managed to hang on and beat the lowly Jets, who are 0-4.
They suck.
And if you would have said that Adam Gase would have been the first coach fired, I think you got a better odds.
We're wrong.
Than Bill Bryan did. The Broncos have hope.
No,
they've got Noah Fant.
No, they don't.
They're pretty decent. They got Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
They're pretty decent, right?
They can flip Lindsay back next week. I mean, but it's just like...
For whatever reason, you still think Philip Lindsay is a factor.
One, he's on my fantasy team. Two, he comes back next week. And three, I need fantasy points from him. So, that's why.
I think you are in trouble if you need him that badly.
Well, Nick Chubb's been done for
Nick Chubb,
yeah, and he's also on my fantasy roster.
So, is he out 4-6 now, I suppose, too? So
yes.
Something like that. Correct. Colts 19, Bears 11.
What?
Nick Foles...
Expose!
What was that?
Well, the Colts are secretly the best defense in the NFL, so...
I tell you what, the Colts are able to run the ball and play defense, and that will not lose you many games in today's NFL.
They just grind you.
Philip Rivers isn't anything special.
Jonathan Taylor was a man, though, in the backfield.
They've got decent receivers. Philip Rivers, as long as he doesn't, you know, throws a questionable quack ball once in a while.
As long as you don't yell pull, it should be okay. But.
And the Bears looked totally out of sync on offense. Didn't do much until the last drive where, again, they had to do it.
What happened to them? The Bears were so good 3 years ago, now they just suck.
Well, and they're back to
sucking again.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good game for them. They one of the few games this week that did not hit the over, but the Colts do cover with a 19-11 win. Joe Burrow gets his first win. The Bengals are off the schneid. They beat the Jaguars 33-25, cover the 3 points. The Bengals look like, again...
The battle of rebuilding.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Bengals look like a team that has some ability and some functionality. The Jaguars don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know at what point the Jaguars are just going to cut bait on the Gardner Minshew experiment. Maybe they won't. But, man... They don't look very good in any phase.
Like, he's really, really good at times, really, really bad at times.
And give up for Joe Mixon, by the way.
He had 40 fantasy points. I didn't start.
He had 3 touchdowns, 151 yards on 25 carries, and he scored on a receiving touchdown. Bengals look like they got something. So, We'll see how they look against some better competition than the Jaguars.
Well, it's the win.
But Burrow got protected well, didn't have to worry about much from a pressure standpoint. I like what he has going on there, Grant.
Yeah. Burrow's got some options now, but it's just not enough. And you're playing in a division that's now very, very competitive.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, they won in the division, obviously. But if you win 5 games, that's a really good building block going forward, because this team is not very good. If you can get 5-6 wins, that's as if you're going to the playoffs for them. Because it's like, hey, we got 6 wins with a team we didn't think was very good, and we'll work for next year.
True. Can't argue with that logic too much. Saints go into Detroit. Not that that's a huge victory or not, but Saints win 35-29. Lions played well enough to win, but again, their defense just gets thrashed at important times.
First game in NFL history to finish 35-29.
Is it the first one? Okay.
The first one.
Saints, they won and they look better doing it, but something's still wrong there.
Well, did Michael Thomas play?
No.
That's why. Anyway, that's why. Without them, they look pedestrian at best. Like, they're okay, but they're just not good. They're just not really good on offense. Win one for the Breezer at this point, because it's his last year, and they wanted to send out...
Do you think they... When Thomas comes back, are they... I don't know if they're going to get necessarily that much better. I think the Taysom Hill thing is... not working.
They really gotta make up their mind what they want to do with him. I mean, he signed to an over $2.7 million extension for a guy who only plays 18 snaps.
Yeah, and he's not your backup quarterback.
He's not your number one running back. He's not your number one receiver. He's not your number one tight end. He's not your number one quarterback. Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. Sorry, he just is.
Yeah, he is.
It's just like, make up your mind what you want to do with him. Put him at one position. Because didn't he almost fumble away the game? Did he have a fumble in that game?
Yes.
So it's like, make up your mind what you want to do with him. I mean, either you stick him at one spot or he's your quarterback. I mean, you need to make up your mind with him.
We have to pause our NFL music for a second as we intro into the next team, because let me tell you something. This is what it looked like if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. I mean, honestly.
That was bad.
I don't get it. This must be the team that the Cowboys defense here is wearing around the field.
They were social distancing.
I mean, every time I turn it on, something is just stranger than hell is happening. I mean, honestly, they played defense. Or whatever that's called.
Yeah, whatever that was. Defense or defense.
They let Odell Beckham go insane. They let Baker Mayfield beat you.
Only 162 yards passing. It wasn't too fantastic.
Well, but still, I mean, you can't be that... The Browns aren't that much better.
I mean, they make the Vikings defense look good. I mean it's just
horrible.
God, that was pathetic.
Horrible. Horrible.
They really didn't care.
And we'll get to the Vikings.
No, but Rex Ryan had a great line when OBJ is going down the sideline. He says, "The sideline has never missed a tackle. Just get him out of bounds. That's all you got to do, right?" Alden Smith has him dead to rights in the backfield. You think, oh, the pursuit's coming, right? Nobody's there. Gets down the sideline with 20. Didn't I say he has some real estate here?
He did.
Gets down the sideline. We're thinking, okay, he's going to run him out of bounds, right? It gets going and going and going. The lack of effort was just appalling.
Yeah.
It was just like, go get him. And Jalen Smith is the last survivor. They're going to get him. Like, he ain't catching him. I'm just like, it was just awful how bad they were.
Cowboys, and it's a shame because Dak Prescott statistically is having an amazing year. But when the only game you were lucky enough to win is because the dumbass team you beat didn't know the rules and the onside kick, you got problems. But, again, they're in the NFC East, so they are probably going to live on.
The best teams always have the best receiving cores, right? And that's the Cowboys are a perfect example.
Exactly.
And they have unlimited riches at wide receiver. And Zeke's fumbling the ball on top of people. And it's just like, Zeke doesn't look the same. The Cowboys receivers, I mean, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper had great games. But But when Dak throws a pick in the red zone, when you're down two scores, it's just, you got to figure, you got to fix the defense. And Mike Nolan's our defensive coordinator. When last time he was the defensive coordinator was in Atlanta, and they were ranked 32nd in the NFL in defense. That's dead last, people. And that guy's your defensive coordinator? Sorry, that's not working if you're Dallas.
Yeah,
and the loss of Leighton Van Der Esch, is he really a big part of that Cowboys defense?
Yes.
Really?
Well, honestly,
is that big of a difference?
Right now? Yeah. You look at what they don't have a capable cover corner. They don't have at least that. Yeah, they don't have a linebacking corps that's worth a damn.
Sean Lee's injured, so is Van Der Esch.
I don't quite understand what they don't have much to hang their head on. They're not getting the pass rush.
And Trevon Diggs is going to be your next up and coming corner, and he hasn't been that great.
Nope,
and people like Dexter Lawrence is a bum. Well, guess what? He's getting double teamed. When you're getting two guys on it, it's a little harder to get to the quarterback. It's not his fault. It's just the blocking assignment.
But again, Dallas, for as much as we're going to talk about them this year as being a crap team,
I mean, they should be 0-4.
But and they're only half a game out in the NFC East.
I mean, 6-10 will win that division. I mean, seriously,
I don't think it's going to be that bad. But
yeah, it will.
Seahawks 31, Dolphins 23.
Weird game.
Pedestrian game for the Seahawks, who did enough to win, and they get the Vikes next Monday night. Dolphins made this probably a lot closer than it should have been.
Yep. A lot closer. I think the Dolphins hung with them. I like the way Brian Flores is going with this team. But, I mean, are we past week four yet?
We are now.
Yeah, you start Tua. I mean, seriously, it's time.
It's time.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Get Ryan's ass out of there. He's okay weeks 1-4. Well, Fitzmagic is up, all right? You were okay. Jason Sanders kicked out of a lot of jams. But, I mean, David Moore had one hell of a catch in the back of the end zone to extend the Seahawks lead. But Seattle did enough to win, and I just think that Miami just doesn't have the horsepower to come back.
As good as Wilson is, and he does have a good core receiver, is Chris Carson had a nice day too.
True.
So they're all around. They're
they did leave the league in rushing a couple of years
they're
ago.
They're probably so. Sound enough to get, you know, to the NFC title game the way they're playing.
And right now it looks like a Packers Seahawks NFC championship game. That's it. I don't like that.
Let's see how that works out. Bucks 38, Chargers 31. This was a duel.
It shouldn't have been a duel, but...
Brady, every week is a little more comfortable, Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Every week it's a little bit better.
And next week he gets the Packers.
Right.
So,
but Justin Herbert, I don't think in any way Tyrod Taylor gets his job back.
Nope.
I think Herbert throwing to receivers that probably aren't that great still looked really good doing it. And I'm impressed with how he's played in the first few weeks. I think you give him the starting job on a full-time basis, see what he can do for it.
Yeah, I think that Herbert, I thought Herbert would be a bust. He's not. He's actually been really, really good. I think you're right, he's taken mediocre talent to this kind of level. I think that the Chargers defense was pretty good for parts of that game. The pick six certainly helps, but look at Brady. He's getting more comfortable week by week. Mike Evans wasn't 100% to play in the game, was injured during the game, came back and had, you know, 40 points in fantasy. Damn it. Because I benched him this week.
Right.
But that lost a fantasy game because of that. But he's getting more comfortable. Audrey Howard had one nice day. Is Gronk just window dressing? Because it's like, he doesn't do anything. He's just kind of there.
Well, it'll be interesting because O.J. Howard now tearing his ACL.
Ooh.
Not bad. He's going to be out for the year. Maybe that's what Gronk needs to get some more catches. Less competition for catches generally yields more catches.
Who's going to throw now? Scotty Miller?
Gotta love Scotty Miller.
My!
Scotty Miller, the diminutive Scotty Miller. He's filling the Julian Edelman, Wes Welker.
Yeah, the white wide receiver role.
No question about it. So Bucks take that one and a push from the line standpoint. Ravens, kind of a meh win over the team formerly known as Skins of Red.
Yeah, Skins of Red.
31-17 there. Lamar Jackson with his usual theatrics and touchdown. RG3 even got in to beat down on
Chase McSorley.
Seriously. Ravens did what they needed to do. Actually, the line was dead even.
The Ravens are a great regular season team. But that does not...
Coming around on that one for me?
Yeah, does that scream to you a Chiefs contender?
After that performance they had against Chiefs earlier.
They can go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I mean,
they couldn't beat him at home.
Only Buffalo has really any chance of beating him, and Buffalo might not even have the horsepower to beat him.
The Buffalo Bills. Well, let's. I don't think we need to spend much time talking about Washington, honestly.
No,
so they're
mediocre.
Let's talk about Buffalo since you brought them up. 30-23 winners over their Raiders. Not the greatest effort by the Bills' defense. They did let, you know, Derek Carr hang around a little bit, but Bills look good, man. The more I watch this team, the more I believe.
The Bills are good. I think.
Are they Chiefs level good?
No.
But are they?
Are they the top three team in the AFC? Yes.
But I tell you what, if they're not in the final four of the AFC, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I think clearly the Chiefs are the best team. There's any question about that.
Bills are two.
I think the Bills and the Ravens right now, I could make a case. Now, the Ravens have lost, but it was a loss to the Chiefs. So I almost have to think I put Buffalo second.
Yeah.
Baltimore third.
Buffalo with that defense and that running game, that'll be okay.
I mean, that will travel well. And as long as, you know, Allen had a little bit of a health scare there at one point during the game, but he got back up. I like him because he's got some guts. Now, he, unfortunately, in the playoffs is going to make some bonehead mistake to throw. And against a better team, that's going to cost him.
Like Kansas City.
Right. And that's the kind of team it'll kill him against. The Raiders are what I thought they were. They're going to be a 500 team. They're going to be
sneaking around. They're getting better, though. They're getting better.
They are. And Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs. And they still lack that go-to. I mean,
if only had Antonio Brown, I mean, you know.
Well, and again, Henry Ruggs isn't that guy.
He's a typical Al Davis pick. I mean, I know he's not alive anymore, but
the problem is their defense is going to hold them back.
I mean, there's their safety Abram is like Bob Sanders out there trying to knock himself out and everything.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a good way.
Steve Atwater trying to knock himself out, trying to make a tackle. It's just like.
Well, the Raiders are going to hang around this year. They're going to make life miserable for a few different teams along the way as we go. Panthers 31, Cardinals 21. I'm confused.
What the hell, Cardinals?
I'm confused about the Cardinals. I really thought after the first few weeks, oh boy, I missed this. Kyler Murray, a lot of like 2-3 yard, 4 yard passes. Not much excitement happening there. And you would think with the likes of DeAndre Hopkins
and Larry
Fitzgerald, you would throw for more than 140-some
yards. Christian Kirk, I mean, he's got so many good young receivers, but it's just
And yet the Panthers come in and really do a number on him. And I got to say, I didn't think the Panthers were going to be 2-2 at this point in the year. Teddy Bridgewater has a nice game, runs one in for a
Teddy
touchdown.
Was pretty good too.
Mike Davis filling in great for Christian McCaffrey. The Panthers are interesting.
The Panthers are interesting, but the Cardinals, it's just like, what's going on? They were really good the first 2 weeks of the season. And then they're just good. I mean, a loss to the Lions is just a big thud. It's just like, I don't know what to make of the Cardinals. And they're really good offense. Their defense is kind of, eh.
Well, now have teams started to figure the Kyler Murray thing out?
To an extent, I don't know.
But, I mean, this isn't like figuring the Mahomes thing out. He's just
not
freaking amazing.
Well, but, I mean,
Murray's got a little more. He needs more help than Mahomes. He can't take over a game like Mahomes can. At least not yet, in my opinion.
All right, well, what else does he need? A tight end?
I think he needs a more consistent running game.
Yeah, well, Kenyon Drake's good.
He's okay, but.
And it's not like he's a great running back, but he means.
I mean, Fitzgerald's past his best days, but I think they need to play some better defense.
Yeah,
I think that's going to need to help them out in the long run, I think, as we move along in the season. Rams 17, Giants 9.
Ugh. What was that?
Not a very well-played game by either team. The Rams just have more talent.
It wasn't the play wasn't great during it. It was the fighting after the game that
was better. Well, there's a bit of a story to that. As you may have heard, there was a big fracas between Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate. And it started by Ramsey taking a shot at him on the field. There had been some trash talk
before.
But you need to. Oh, by the way, we're talking about the Rams here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rams.
I'm not going to pull that.
You're not going to? No, you don't have that ready?
I don't have it ready to go.
Really? Well, then get it ready to go. So.
Okay.
So the Rams, in case you don't know the backstory on this one with the Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey, it's a good one.
sort of a family feud. Gotta get a new horn. Well, you're supposed to let me at least hear the
horn. Well, sorry, but I'm not so that talking.
That's all right. One more time. No. That horn. Gotta get a new horn. There we go. So Jalen Ramsey is the father of Golden Tate's young nieces.
Ooh, family affair.
So Ramsey apparently ended a long-term relationship with Golden Tate's sister during her pregnancy last summer to create a Las Vegas dancer.
Ooh, ooh.
Ouch. Tate later told the Post, the Washington Post, "I'm not, quote, I'm not happy at all with the disrespect that he's shown my sister and the things he's done in the past." Ouch. All right?
Yeah.
After the fight was over, Jalen Ramsey walking up and down in SoFi Stadium Field in full uniform, intermittently talking to someone on his phone, wants Golden Tate to come out of the locker room and continue the fight.
I thought he was outside the locker room.
Well, he wants Tate to come outside the locker room and continue the fight. Let's go. 15 rounds for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Oh, wait. Whoops.
Ding, ding. Apollo would say. Wow. So
did it actually materialize? I'm assuming it didn't.
No, it didn't. It did not. But
ding, ding.
How long
did Jalen Ramsey was at SoFi after the game?
I don't know because Jalen can be a little weird. He was with the Jags, and he is now.
That's not a diva cornerback. That's all that is.
Anyway, the actual game on the field, nowhere as near entertaining as the backstory I just
gave. No.
But the Rams do win.
I mean, Jason Garrett, the new offensive coordinator for the Giants, who called a pass play where nobody goes out to catch a pass. Wait, what? Yeah. Daniel Jones drops back to pass, and there is nobody open. You know why? Because nobody ran a damn route on the play. Like, if that's not how pathetic the Giants are this season.
Being a New York football player.
What was that play?
What?
It's a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
There you go.
That was that play in that game in one sentence.
Thank you, Jake Tapper, for that. And you know what most teams, you know what everybody says about football in New York these days?
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Yeah, are the Yankees in the playoffs? Yeah, nobody else.
Nobody else cares. Wow. It's in New York this year, it's just one big mess.
Amen.
All right, enough
Amen
of that.
Amen, I say to you.
I mean, enough of that. But, it's just a tough deal for those teams involved. A game that took place tonight that was supposed to take place on Sunday, but Cam Newton had to go and get himself some COVID. Chiefs 26, Patriots 10. The Chiefs, this actually was a good game for a while. The Chiefs kind of, you know, got that early lead and struggled out. And then Brian Hoyer, who was not playing particularly well, goes out. Jared Stidham comes in, replaces him, and then promptly throws a pick six to Tyrann Mathieu that takes all the steam out of the train there. Controversial fumble call in the game where they said that Patrick Mahomes was in the grasp.
He wasn't. He was on top of somebody else.
So the little bit of discussion in the media about that afterwards, but unfortunately the Patriots just didn't have enough offense with Cam tonight to get it done.
I mean, with Jarrett Stidham and Ryan Hoyer, I mean.
Yeah, and Hoyer played fine, but I just... No spark, and you couldn't, and they kept getting inside the red zone and couldn't get anything done, and so not a good showing by any stretch of the imagination by the Patriots tonight as they fall to 2-2. Chiefs stay undefeated at 4-0.
I mentioned Patriots like, where is Tommy?
Yeah, exactly. Sunday Night Football, Eagles 25, 49ers 20. Way to go, Carson Wentz.
Like, he willed his team to a win there.
Because, so good quarterbacks do.
I mean, he has no weapons. Patchwork offensive line. Defense is eh. And yet he still willed them to a win. I mean, he's throwing to undrafted free agents. Who caught the touchdown pass late in the game?
That Fulham guy.
Yeah. I don't remember where he was from, but he was some fifth-round pick or whatever from last year's draft. And he's like this great receiver now. Yeah. I'm like, never heard of the guy, but I'll take your word for it. But it's just like...
Well,
I mean, Dak throws for 500 yards and loses. Wentz throws for 200, throws the names you've never heard of and wins. So it's like, if you want to compare the two, Wentz just wills his team to wins, and Dak's all smoke and mirrors and with his team. Yet the Eagles are leading the division. Wait, what?
Wentz also helped by Nick Mullins losing his friggin' mind in the fourth quarter and throwing a pick. Right to the linebacker.
Nobody found the open linebacker, but Nick Mullins.
Yeah, I can't remember his name right offhand. No, but it's some kid that played in the FCS that picked him off and scored.
Yeah.
And that was the dagger. CJ beat hard. You got beat by the boys. And CJ beat hard. Thrown to his old buddy George Kittle like 30 times on the final drive, but couldn't ultimately get the touchdown. And the the Niners 2-2, but realistically, that's okay right now. So considering they don't have Jimmy G and a whole host of others in the lineup, I think they're going to be all right. Especially the fact that the division, which I thought at one point would be stronger, doesn't seem quite to has lost the punch a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of room for improvement in the Niners when they get some parts back next week. But big win for the Eagles again. 1-2-1, ladies and gentlemen. First place.
Your division leaders
in the NFC least. Game that just wrapped up, Packers destroy the Falcons in a game that wasn't even close, 30-16. Packers go to 4-0.
Damn it.
Falcons look like dog shit. Dan Quinn or Adam Gase? Who gets fired first?
My money's on Adam Gase.
Think so?
I'll take Gase.
If not, Quinn's a close second.
Yep.
I don't think there's any way Adam Quinn. Did I just combine the two coaches? We suck again.
They're 0-8.
Adam Quinn is 0-8 this year. Gase and Packers dominated. The immortal Robert Tonyan, last seen getting squashed by the Bison in 2013 as the quarterback for Indiana State.
Has resurrected and
has now become the league's leading receiver as a tight end. 3 touchdowns tonight. The New York Giants, ladies and gentlemen, have 3 touchdowns the entire year.
Yeah.
Robert Tonyan, ladies and gentlemen, better than an entire NFL team. Falcons go to 0-4. They're terrible. Nothing much come out of that. And then Skull Vikings, baby. The Vikes finally get it done. Yes.
Got a win! Yay!
It's a beautiful thing, and in fact, because in honor of such, we're going to have to... I suppose I should have pulled this up in the pre-show meeting, but again, why would I bother doing that?
Yeah.
I mean... Yay.
We won the game.
I don't know, is this the one with the really old guys singing it, or is it just the instrumental version?
This instrumental.
This is just the instrumental, huh?
Yes, I mean, it's guaranteed.
Alright, here, do it with me. B-I-K-I-N-G-S. Skull Vikings and Skull...
Hey!
Oh, of course I cut the... there we go. Vikings did not exactly set the world on fire in this game.
No.
But Dalvin Cook, man, I'm glad we're paying him.
Yep. It's just, I mean, he's statistically one of the best running back in the NFL in terms of rushing yards. He leads the league in rushing yards. And according to Pro Football Focus, we have the best receiving combinations with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. So, I mean,
Thielen had a nice comeback game.
Yeah. Jefferson had one hell of a game, too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, he's quickly becoming that other option they hoped he would be. You know, BB, BC Johnson, none of those guys are doing anything much.
Irvin Jr. is a non-factor.
Yeah, Rudolph had a nice catch. And Alexander Mattison, really nice, had a nice touchdown run late in the game.
Did okay. It's just
Harrison Smith got tossed out on a bullshit call. That was, and then George Iloka looked like me trying to play safety out there. It was awful. Will Fuller did not catch that ball. I think it is pretty clear that was a correct call.
He cupped it.
And Minnesota survives. And again, I know we joke about Bill O'Brien and everything, but the Vikes survive. And they needed to win to survive. Yeah. I'm not optimistic about this weekend coming up against...
I'm just saying, if Miami can hang with them, the Vikings can hang with them. That's all I'm going to say about that. If... Miami can hang with them for three quarters, I think the Vikings can at least put up a fight. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm just saying that they're going to make it close. And there's no fans in Seattle, so I'm just saying there's no noise for Kirk to contend with.
And Cousins had a very, very good game.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't make any stupid mistakes. He didn't throw a back-breaking pick. He didn't try to do too much. And when Cousins stays within himself, he is a very, very good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he still got sacked too much, and he still doesn't move as well as I'd like.
But that's Kirk being Kirk.
But that's Kirk being Kirk. Exactly.
And that's why you get Trey Lance. Wait, what?
Tanking for Trey took a hit with
me. There was a scout at the game. I'm just saying. There was one there. So it's still a question.
It is. By the way, to finish up with the NFL weekend, the final picks for the week, 9-4-2 against the spread. Two draws this week, which is kind of odd. 9-4-2 for the Loudmouth, 8-5-2 for the Legend. The Loudmouth with his third win in the last 4 weeks. It's getting ugly early. It's getting late early for the Legend in the picks contest. But the Loudmouth continues to pile up.
I'm the Michael Strahan.
An impressive
I'm the Michael Strahan pick
winning percentage here. So the Loudmouth for the year goes to 35 wins, 25 losses, 3 pushes for the year. The Legend with a respectable showing, 32 wins, 28 losses, and
so only down by 3.
One tie. So yes, you're down by you're down by 3 games, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's so manageable.
Yeah, down by 3 games, 32, 28, and 3. The Loudmouth, 35, 25, and 3. So 3 weeks won by the Loudmouth and 3 game lead as we pass the quarter pole in the NFL. So, just to recap then, so we have 4-0 teams now. We have a few. Seahawks are 4-0. We have the Packers at 4-0, and the Bills at 4-0, and the Chiefs at 4-0. Okay? We have Tennessee still undefeated, but yet to play a game. And we have Pittsburgh still undefeated.
I'm going to take a hot take here. The Bucs beat the Packers.
Good hot take. 0-4s. Texans now with Romeo Crennel. Falcons now 0-4.
Those teams will get one eventually.
Giants 0-4. Jets 0-4. and so every other team is at least one game in the National Football League. So will be interesting to see. We'll preview Week 5 obviously on Thursday. Vikings Seahawks will be one of the primary games we take a look at, and Chargers Saints next week, that'll be a good one. That's the Monday night tilt. So we've got some intriguing games to look ahead to as we pass the quarter pole in the National Football League season. Hard to believe that we're already that far along. Let's talk about the association grant for just a few minutes here. Jimmy Buckets, baby.
They still have no shot to win this series. Sorry.
40-point effort in a triple-double. And no the Heat stay alive for all practical purposes.
Oh, yeah, you got
with,
one win.
With a 115-104 win over the Lakers. LeBron, we got to talk about LeBron for a second. You know I'm now a Bron hater.
I know.
25-10-8. 8 turnovers. A pretty dog shit first quarter. The Lakers turned the ball over 10 times in the first quarter, which ties the season high in the NBA for number of turnovers by a team in the opening quarter. They started like shit. They ended like shit. I seem to have a foul mouth tonight. I apologize. But then he leaves the court with 10 seconds left in the game. And
of course,
then it's not his fault.
No, it's never his fault.
So, you know, LeBron, if you're as good as you say you are, you'll go out and crush the Heat in the next 2 games.
Right, he will. Right, that's
but, you know, let's see how we do now. This is the same situation they were in against with the Nuggets. Up 2-1, and they pretty much took care of business then with Anthony Davis hitting that 3. Now, Bam's probably still not going to play. Dragic is probably still not going to play,
maybe,
right?
He's already done for the season.
Okay, so again,
if Adebayo plays or not, it's not that big of a deal.
Do the Heat need Jimmy Butler to have that kind of game to have any chance?
Yes. He needs to just have like 40 points, 15 assists, 5 boards. He needs to be Russell Westbrook in order to win this game.
Okay.
To even have a shot at winning this series. Because who's guarding LeBron? Who's guarding Anthony Davis? What, Duncan Robinson? Like, that's going to help.
Not having a good series.
They have shooters. They don't have defense. Seems to be a Miami thing in all sports. But
well said.
But it's just like they're built for offense. Their offense caught on and they won. That's why they won Game 3. But they didn't play great defense. They haven't played a complete game in the series.
So when you and I sit down to the microphone later this week on Thursday night, will it be Miami and the Lakers tied at 2 or Lakers up 3-1?
The Lakers will dominate.
Lakers up 3-1?
They'll dominate.
Okay. I agree. I think Lakers go up 3-1 and might be ready for a closeout.
Lakers want to get the hell out of there.
I said realistically that I thought, again, if I'm betting with my heart, I'm rooting for the Heat. But if I'm betting with money, it's going to be the Lakers, and it's probably going to be in 5 games.
Yep.
And we're just about there. Last thing we need to wrap up on the show. For the baseball division series, we're down to the final 8 matchups of divisional round series. Actually, in the division series, what a noble concept! Houston and Oakland led it off today. Houston wins the opener 10-5. They're on a roll, Grant. And I admit I would have not picked Houston in this series. I would have picked Oakland in 5 games, and that's picks looking a little shaky to start out with.
Astros have experience. Oakland doesn't. That's mainly why. I think the A's have an outstanding... They have great pitching, but you can't get the bats going. That Chapman was a big reason why they could get the bats going. He's not available for the rest of the season. The pitching hasn't been the best, and the Astros have been there before. They know how to get this stuff done. The trash can lid or not, they're still really good.
Yankees start out with a 9-3 win over the Rays in Game 1 of the American League Division Series. Other event tonight. No surprise, Giancarlo Stanton with a grand slam in the ninth to break what was a good game open. Grant, I was going to pick the Yankees in 4 anyway. That doesn't change my pick. No, and I'd pick the Yankees at the beginning of the year.
I thought the Rays would put up a fight, and I see Game 1. I'm like, yep, the Yankees got this in the bag.
Let's look at the National League quick, which starts tomorrow. Dodgers and Padres.
Let's go, Dodgers.
Padres come back after dropping the first one to St. Louis, but I still don't think they have enough pitching left in their arsenal to go
the
in.
The only reason I want the Dodgers to win the series, I hate the Padres. So that's... I don't like either of these two teams, so...
I'll take the Dodgers in 4.
Yep.
Okay, I'll take them.
I will.
Remember, all these games at neutral sites now that they've all moved into the bubble. Miami and Atlanta, I think Atlanta's got way too much firepower.
Atlanta's going to dominate that series.
Yeah, I think Braves in 4. Yep. Braves win!
Yep. Braves win!
Hello, everybody. Skip Carey here with you. Braves win it in 4. Setting up what we think will be then, again... Oakland, Yankees, Braves, I think we're headed for a Yankees-Dodgers series. Nothing still has changed my mind on that one. No? Why, you don't like that idea?
No, I don't like that idea. I don't like either of those teams.
Oh, wham,
do can we do like a Braves-Rays World Series? Or, hell, I'd have the Astros back in the World Series. I don't care.
Honestly, no. Well, nobody's watching anyway. It doesn't really matter.
True.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Honestly. One last thing before we wrap up tonight, and I wanted to bring this one up because Hall of Fame pitcher Bob Gibson passed away recently here. And in fact, I don't know if it was today or what day it was in the whole grand scheme of things. But Bob Gibson, who you probably know as the all-time ERA record holder in one season, he absolutely was a phenomenal pitcher, but he held a little bit of a grudge.
Yeah.
And Bob Gibson's last pitch that he threw in an organized game was a grand slam that he gave up to a guy named Pete LeCocq. I know. Try to hold your laughter. A decade later, old-timers game at Wrigley Field, Pete LeCocq steps up to the plate. Bob Gibson, with the first pitch,
drills him,
blasts him. And you gotta love a guy who can carry a grudge for that long.
Just drills
him. Drills him in an old-timers game.
How fast is he throwing?
I mean, well, I don't know. I'm just guessing Gibby maybe put a little something extra.
I was thinking he was at, was it like a 60s or like...
Well, an old-timers game, he gotta be... Yeah, I mean, he had to be in his, you know, 50s, I suppose, but...
You hold a grudge... He's probably throwing a good 70 miles an hour by that time.
I bet Gibby could still bring it pretty well at that point in his career.
And Lecoq's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, if you hit a grand slam off me, I'm gonna, you know, you're gonna be tasting some dirt.
It's not like you throw me out of the game. An old-timers game. Yeah, you need to toss me?
This guy would throw his own kid in the father-son game. I mean, honestly.
If that's not Shaquille O'Neal left, that baby's out of here.
Oh, Major League.
We're in the ninth.
Major League, so good. Such a good film. But, yes, the baseball season in October as we go through more postseason baseball to play. Jeez, we doing an hour already?
Yep.
Man, this show went fast. It kind of does. But, well, again, congratulations to the Davies Eagles, JV squad, Grant Hubbard, punting the ball away. Defensive struggle. Way to go, Davies, in that one. So hopefully you can get the win against the big boys on Friday night in the varsity matchup where it'll be a big, basically for the UDC championship at stake. But we'll preview that one on Thursday, right? Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for Loudmouth Logic and links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. This is legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us, like the show, hit the show, we don't care. DM us, please.
Not sure if there'll be any more COVID impacts on any sporting events this week, but we survived the football weekend, and in a few days we'll be ready to do it all over again. Hard to believe. As we make our way through the early October, we'll talk about the NBA Finals, we'll keep you up to date on the Division Series, and make our scintillating picks for Week 5 in the NFL, and take a look at the key college games coming up. Stick with us through October, man. It's going to be a busy ride. Thanks for listening to The Legend and The Loudmouth. Have a good night, everybody.